this program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night. Late Night Talk Radio, offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. What we hear so much of these days is about cancel culture and whether someone, some group is, or some celebrity is being canceled or not because of statements they make, posts they make. And mm-hmm. So what is this what about cancel culture? What are your thoughts?
Well, a thought is that I may be canceled. And I mean that sincerely, that absolutely. Our ministry could be canceled,
yes.
Meaning labeled in this hateful way, that we are give messages of hate. And when I'm telling what the Bible says and what God himself, it's the Word of God, and I can't though be silent and live in fear. And at our ministry, on occasion, there have been thoughts of concern. Yet, look, we have the material we have on multiple topics, 100 topics, but we present God's truth for today's problems. And, I've appreciated, years ago I had contact with David Jeremiah, and have appreciated his support of what we do, and I think he's a very gifted communicator of the Word of God. David Jeremiah is in San Francisco. I meant to say California. He's the pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church in California, and I read something that he said. I thought you would find this fascinating. And the headline under Christian headlines is "Cancel Culture is Unbiblical," David Jeremiah says. And I believe that, but I liked how he stated it. The cancel culture involves a series of unbiblical beliefs that mirror what Jesus said would even foreshadow the end times. But what he was saying is that the goal of the cancel culture is punishing, ostracizing. This conflicts with Jesus' commands to love God and love others. And the actual quote is, "Cancel culture is laser focused on judgment and accusation and punishment. And the goal of those who cancel others is to broadcast their sins from pillar to post and never allow them to be removed or forgotten." And he noted that Jesus spent a lot of time with people of his day who had been canceled, and I had not thought of it that way. You think about the woman at the well. You think about the lepers. Multiple people that it's like, well, you don't associate. We don't. How can you associate with these kinds of people? And there were a number of kinds of people that weren't uplifted by their society. And it's significant for us to look at what is going on in our world and be relevant to our culture. He said it would be nice to think that the cancel culture is a temporary phase that our world is going through. But society is becoming more intolerant. It's more polarized by the day. I'm not sure we'll see a reversal of all these trends. And then the last thing I'll mention that he said, the more insidious elements of cancel culture are a malignant form of spitefulness and self-importance common to human nature that's in contrast to the nature that we receive. The Bible talks about his divine nature, his given us everything we need to live a godly life. And so when we think about the natural human nature, it can be very self-focused. And if something is competing with self, then can it be canceled? Can it be removed? Can people speak very negatively? And, you know, can we put a black filter? That's a camera term, by the way, where there's a day scene, and you look at this day scene, like one time I was taking pictures for a brochure for Sky Ranch, a wonderful Christian camp, and I came back, you know, anyway, a day scene like of kids in canoes or playing outside. You put a black filter on top of the camera, meaning at the front, you screw it in, and that day scene then ends up looking like a night scene. Well, that can be very clever and attractive in work of art, in involving cameras. But if it's from our mouths, if what we say is dark, if it doesn't reflect God's truth, then it's wrong. And we really need to guard our mouths, guard our thinking. Don't accept the cancel culture. It doesn't reflect God's holy culture.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night, for a ministry of hope for the heart. And we want to thank you for your prayers and support of our ministry. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. And from them, you would look to get any resources that you hear about on the program. And we're happy to recommend those to you. As June was just talking about this concept of cancel culture. And many times we need to know what is truth and what is reliable for us to form a foundation of our beliefs. And so we do have Keys for Living that will help you there as well. It's called The Bible, Is It Reliable? Truth on Trial. And you'll understand the reliability, the veracity of the Bible as you get and dive into that resource. But customer support can be reached at 800 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And that number again, 800-488-4673. Maybe there's a question that comes up in your mind, whether it's one of those kinds of questions about cancel culture or something going on in your life, and we'd like to help you provide some biblical hope and practical help as you get to talk with June on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. The number there is 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT. The number is 17. Just call and leave a detailed message so we can get right back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. And we certainly welcome your call. We want to get to our caller for tonight, and she listens on the podcast, which, by the way, you can get on the app, which is called Hope for the Heart. And that's a free download for you on the app, or you can find it on our website at hopefortheheart.org and get that podcast delivered to you daily. So she listens that way, and from Illinois. Tonight we have Violet.
Well, hello, Violet. Welcome to Hope.
Well, hello, Miss June. How are you?
Well, I'm blessed to talk with you. Thank you. How can we help you?
Well, I am really having a struggle at the moment, and I'm very sure I'm not alone in this boat. But as our world is opening up and things like that, I'm having a hard time with getting back into life, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I have had years of depression and anxiety and, you know, have taken medication, so I've got a lot of front-loading here, so none of this is really helping. The world just feels so mean. You were talking about cancel culture a while ago, and just people just seem so angry, and everything just feels unsafe. You know, between the virus and you know how people are and how things are right now. And as I've been diagnosed with a highly sensitive personality, and I just really struggle with that. It's to the place some days where it's very, very distressing, and I don't want to even come out of my house, you know, to deal with the world.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, what would you think? Just curious, think back on Jesus' day. What do you think it was like? Do you think everything was peaceful and at ease when he was walking the earth and the people that were in his sphere, the people in the towns he would go into or the cities? Do you think it was a relatively peaceful time, or do you think it was stressful and unsafe to a degree?
Well, it was very, probably very stressful, and you know, some of the folks that, you know, we read about in the Bible that he encountered, you know, as he went about his work, you know, were no doubt not easy to deal with, and you know, but he did. And
okay. You know, I'm just wondering, sometimes we look at what other people have done and how they handled it to get the model of what we ought to do. But before we do that, that just popped into my head because I thought, you know, there was so much that was going on in his day that's close to identical to what's going on in our world. So we'll maybe you and I can even consider the comparisons or contrasts. But You said that that you'd actually had years of depression. That means your heart's pressed down. It's hard to it's sometimes hard to feel joy. Is that what you would say?
Yes, I I was first diagnosed with depression at age 23. And I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks for treatment and you know, to get the meds started and things mm-hmm. like that. And mm-hmm. and I'm 58 now. And you know, even when I, quote, feel good and my meds are doing their job, there's always kind of this underlying current of sadness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you were 23, was there something that was a change that, or perhaps at 22, around that time frame, was there something unusual that happened that was particularly heavy on your heart that was hurtful?
Well, when I was 14, my maternal grandfather committed suicide.
Oh.
Shot himself in the head. And that has taken years to deal with, because it's just been recently that I've been able to say that I can forgive him for that.
Hmm.
My
do you
mother...
know, do you know the reason that did he give... Did others feel they had an understanding of the reason why he committed suicide? Because usually there is that will to live, but there's something that must have been...
My mother and aunt had no idea.
Hmm.
They didn't even know that he had purchased a gun, a firearm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my aunt's best guess always was that he missed my grandmother. They, at the time of her passing, they had been married for 70 years.
Wow.
They, you know, known each other since they could walk.
Mm.
When she passed away, then about a year and a half later, he remarried, and it was a lady that had been a friend, her and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she and granddad were married for about 5 more years. Well, then she had a stroke and had to go to the nursing home, and my aunt... her thought was that he just could not take losing another spouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe yeah. Not. I don't know. For my part, I guess I took it kind of hard, because my brother and I were the youngest cousins. My folks married late in life, and so my mom had two other nieces and a nephew, and of course they were much older than my brother and me. And at that point they were married and they had children of their own, and here was my brother and I, you know, still in school and fairly young. And I guess I was just kind of angry that he didn't stick around for us little kids, you know, mm-hmm. to see us get as far as we could. But it's just as I've gotten older, I think I can maybe understand him a little better, you know, just have mm-hmm. a little more compassion that way. That has just been recently. And then my mother was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's my senior year of high school when I was 18 and my brother was 15.
Oh.
And she was only 55 years old. And so that was just right before I went to college. And so finances went toward her care. And so I worked two jobs, you know, I essentially worked my way through school, had some scholarships and things like that. And I think I just, looking back on it, I think I just worked myself into the ground, so to speak, and just got exhausted.
You know, there are many people who would say, I didn't see another way out. I didn't see hope. Like talking about your grandfather. It's typically when there is suicide, it's like, it's hopeless. I don't see that there's a choice, another choice.
Right.
It's
he had a brother that committed suicide as well. So my mother had an uncle and her father that both committed suicide in the same way.
Wow.
So.
Okay. And so what I'm hearing is, and that is, by the way, that's very unusual for your mom to have Alzheimer's at age 55. That you're right, it is an early onset. And yet, that put such a huge weight of responsibility onto you, didn't it?
Yes, my dad took care of her until he passed away in 2006. And my brother and I are, most of our adult lives were involved helping to take care of her, which we were happy to do. But it was, it was a load.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm involved with someone now where there's no knowledge of who I am or the wonderful past. And so it's a commitment that we have to do all we can do to be of help. And so I appreciate especially that challenge. And you were young. You were young. And so, at that early age, you began to feel, at age 23, you understood depression.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. As you have questions or concerns about any of the topics that we raise here on the program, we'd like to point you to some of our resources and materials that you can get into your hands to get a better understanding of things that might be going on in your life. And we have Keys for Living called Suicide Prevention, Hope When Life Seems Hopeless. And you can get that into your hands by calling customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help you access the right resources. Their number again, 800-488-4673. Well, I want to tell you about a conference that's coming up. It is called In Focus and Empowered. It's a Christian life coaching event going on October 14th through the 16th in Allen, Texas. So it's nearby here to the DFW area for all those who would live here or who would make that trek. It's well worth it. It's a three-day conference there that is for really individuals who are interested in becoming Christian life coaches or even seasoned life coaches who desire to advance knowledge and skills. And it's for lay ministry, discipleship, and small group leaders. And you're going to learn from some of the leading voices in Christian life coaching about just how you can be equipped and empowered and encouraged in your life coaching. We have keynote speakers Nick V. We have Alita Reynolds, Stephen Arterburn, Drs. Gary and Barb Rosberg, Dr. John Trent, our own June Hunt, all a part of that. And there is a registration bonus if you would register early. We have that discount as well. But go to ICCICoaching.com. It's ICCICoaching.com, and you'll get all the details on that. Again, Christian Life Coaching event, October 14th through the 16th. Well, let's get back to our call tonight with Violet.
My friend, when I asked you about was there something that had occurred, you know, when you mentioned that you had had years of depression and you described going to the hospital at, you know, you're 23 years old and yes. You were in the hospital for several weeks. And so I wondered, the reason is in depression, there are basically, you could say there are two categories. Now, you can split this up many different ways, but there's situational depression and clinical depression, or that would be chemical depression. So situational depression occurs when a painful situation or several painful situations press the heart down for a period of time. And when I think of depression, I always think about a heart-shaped pillow that would represent our hearts. It's kind of that foam pillow that when you press it down, there's an indention. And if you put up one of those old-fashioned irons on top, it really goes down. Now, if we were to remove the iron, let's say we put it on, you know, now, and then tomorrow morning we lift it off, well, it will come back up. But if it's left on a long period of time, for months, there could be a permanent, or at least at that point, an indention where it doesn't rebound back up to its original shape. And the truth is, our hearts, our human hearts, can be so pressed down. And in fact, it is normal for us to go through certain experiences of life. I think about a passage in the Bible that's repeated multiple places. Why are you downcast, O my soul? That downcast is down and depressed. You know, why so disturbed within me? But then you see, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The point, though, is we can be hurt. We can emotionally hurt. We can feel pain in our hearts. And that is, I don't think anybody can be spared that. That is going to happen to all of us, but at different times. And the degree can be very different, too, where, yes, you have a close friend who moves. That's painful when it's like, your dearest friend moves. That can be very different from someone who is beloved, like a grandfather who commits suicide. That's a permanent situation, and you were hurt. It's like, but we kids, we need you. That's what I'm hearing. You said you had a hard time forgiving him.
Yeah, I think I felt like he abandoned my brother and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there was that sense of abandonment there. And you know, my cousins kind of have a little different viewpoint on it because they're older, you know. They're kind of like, you know, well, it happens, and he, you know, was having this tough time, and I'm the one that's saying, but no, you know, Doug and I were little kids. We mm-hmm. were little kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
So yeah, that sense of abandonment kind of has been there for quite a while.
Well, typically when someone is suicidal, when you think about it, they're pretty consumed with their situation. And there are revenge suicides, and that could be a type of abandonment. But I'm hearing that there was huge loss of his wife of, I think you were saying, 70 years? Amazing.
Yes.
So,
yes, they
that's,
grew up together.
Yeah, so... it is an unnatural act. Now, in the pandemic, you've mentioned, I'm having a hard time. It's like getting back into life, depending on what state. I'm talking about a physical, like the United States, what state a person is from. There have been different kinds of restrictions. And
right.
There are those who feel that there has been great harm done by so much of the restrictions because the suicides are way up.
Mm-hmm.
And other major issues, even with teenagers. So, I can certainly understand when you're talking about now, and yet I'm seeing that you do understand that pain of your heart being pressed down. There's an emotional heaviness that weighs the heart down.
Yes.
And so. What has helped you, like, when you went to the hospital in your 20s? I know you said that there was medication, but was there something that was particularly helpful then?
Well, my dad and I were always very, very close. I was a daddy's girl big time, and he came and saw me every day. The first day he came, he brought my Bible, and you know, then whenever he would come and visit, you know, we would sit and read together, and you know, it was just the idea that, you know, with everything he had going on, you know, he came and visited me daily. So,
mm-hmm.
so he was my you know, rock. And even though he was taking care of Mom, you know, he still came to my brother and I's school events. And, you know, I played tennis in college, and he would come to all my matches.
Wow.
You know, at home and away. And I think it was partly, you know, we had a neighbor that was good to come and sit with her, and my brother would sit with her. And, you know, the three of us were, you know, we were a team. So
I was just thinking that word.
I really credit my father mm-hmm. for, you know, helping mm-hmm. me through that time and mm-hmm. and kind of keeping me grounded in, you know, the Bible, even though I didn't have the concentration, you know, there in the beginning to sit and read it myself. He would read with me or to me, or, mm-hmm. You know, and then we would talk. So
yes. And so what you see there, it's very interesting. The first thing that you mentioned when I said what helped then, you talked about what somebody did for you, your dad, reaching out, and it's like you felt connected, and yeah. you were connected, and he was very intentional to go to matches, tennis matches, especially when they are not in the locale, like at your university. And if it's away, I mean, I can't imagine my dad even coming to, you know, hardly anything, much less go someplace else. That impresses me.
Yeah,
so
he was pretty special, and he was determined to take care of Mom, and he did so until he passed away in 2006, and then mm-hmm. We lost Mom in 2011. But yeah, that whole time, yeah, he was someone special. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and then I'm going to ask one more question about the past. When you went into the hospital, what were you experiencing at that point? I know there was depression, but...
Lots of anxiety, trouble eating, and holding things down, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, exhausted.
I want you to think about, when we come back, let's consider, what have you learned, and in terms of what has helped you? And I want you to be thinking about, how can God use your experience to help others who absolutely are feeling helpless, hopeless, dismayed, depressed? I want you to think about, because you actually understand.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of our ministry. We just thank you for that. If you have questions about any of the topics that we bring up here on the program, we invite you to get a closer look as you get in touch with our customer support team. We have over 100 keys for living that will help you to navigate what might be going on in your life. So give us a call at customer support at 800-488-HOPE. And they're available Monday through Friday, anytime from 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help you access the right resources. Their number, again, is 800-488-4673. Now, we do have keys for living called Depression, Walking from Darkness into the Dawn. Again, that's called Depression, Walking from Darkness into the Dawn. And customer support is available at 800-488-HOPE. Let's return to our conversation now with Violet.
You know, Violet, there are a lot of people who want to do something good for others. Some people don't know how to interact with others because they don't understand the hearts of those who may be struggling. They don't understand, why would you do this? Why would you think that? All these things my concern at times is if we have not experienced pain in certain areas, we can have sympathy. And I've said this before. It's like sympathy is patting someone on the head saying, I'm sorry you're hurt. Empathy says, I'll hurt with you. Uh-huh. It's like that I can feel, I know what it's like to walk in your shoes. Compassion says, I'll hurt with you, and I'll be there until the hurt is gone. I'll stick with you. I'm impressed with what you said about what helped you the most. The first thing you said when you were 23 and you're in the hospital, you didn't hesitate. You didn't have to think, well, let me think. Let me try. What helped me? Your dad. He came. He was there. He continued to come. But he had come to many other things and been present for you. I'm just wondering, there are people who mean well, and they would like to help. But you know, until they've been there, experienced certain things, it's hard at times for some people to understand.
Right.
And I'm just thinking about you. First of all, you are well-spoken. In other words, it's very clear when you talk. It's not like, well, you don't know anything to say. Everything I've asked, you've given me examples. And I'm just wondering, I don't think pain is ever wasted by God. I'm talking about when we look at the Bible, there is a particular passage that is, when appropriately, when it's the right time to give it to someone, it can really challenge us to think, well, what do we, how do we think about this in context of what to do? The scripture I'm talking about is actually quite well known. It's Romans 8:28. And it says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Meaning, it doesn't say all Christian things. It doesn't say all pleasant things, all things, you know. It just says all things work together. There's no qualifier there. And I'm thinking, if I were to say to you, you know, I have this friend who helped me tremendously, and she not only doesn't know me, but, you know, she'll say things like, what's the matter with you? You know, no, that's not true. And I'm thanking her for what she did. No, that's not true. You know, but see, you already understand, don't you?
Right. Right. And I feel like it's been very helpful in my profession. My degrees are in education. And so I've been teaching for, well, this coming school year will be year 29.
Ooh, and, wow. What have you been teaching?
Pardon me?
What have you been teaching?
For the first 17 years or so, I was the elementary librarian.
Wow.
and then they moved me to a second grade classroom. So I taught second grade for a year, and then they realized I was working on my master's in reading. And so for the last 10, I have been a reading specialist. And so the small group situation really works well for me as well as my students. You know, and I can be successful in that realm, but I work with lower elementary students, and I just feel like I can understand when they are struggling or need that little extra TLC to, you know, talk to somebody. I'll show up at our social worker's door, you know, our school social worker's door, and I may say, well, you know, this child made this comment or has been behaving in this way. Would you have time to, you know, sit and chat with them a little bit and see what you think? Mm. And so, you know, I at least can tell a child, you know, I get it.
Yeah, this is huge. You know, I'm listening to you and thinking, you have experiences, multiple, that are hard, that early on you had painful situations, and those are in particular valuable because you don't take for granted when someone mentions whether it's suicide, depression, whether it's an illness that is significant. You don't just slough it off. I mean, because you've lived it, right?
Right.
Okay. Right. So I'm just thinking how valuable it can be. I mean, okay, your first words are, you know, Okay, about our world. I don't like what's going on in our world, but, you know, I think about, I thought about Jesus, and I thought, what did he do? What was his focus? So tell me, what do you think when people were, there were some who wanted to kill him, and he knew it, and that's why he would escape on occasion. With the animosity against him, and he definitely had disciples over here, but he did have people who were amazed at what he could do, but he had all this jealousy and all these people who were spiritual leaders that were against him. So what was he controlled by them, the opposers, or his situation? Was he controlled by the situation? Or,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Just I would like for you to reflect. What was his mindset from what you know?
I think he was focused on helping others and fulfilling his mission.
That you are exactly right.
The Heavenly Father had given him.
Yeah. So I think in your situation, as I hear you, he wasn't controlled by what was going on. He looked beyond the fault and saw the need. Mm. He looked beyond the fault and saw the need. And he was used by the Heavenly Father to meet the need.
Right.
So I'm thinking, your life can have incredible purpose beyond what some others, they might want to be helpful, but they can't help in this area. You know, candidly, when I was young, because I grew up in a painful home, I didn't talk. I didn't tell people anything that went on. I didn't have words. And when people tried, but I could tell the ones who cared, even though I couldn't get the words out. And I'm just thinking, you know, like, you know what it's like to see kids that are loners, right?
Yes.
You know what it's like to see those who are shut down?
Yes, definitely.
Well, you know, later, when I became a youth director, and I actually had committed my life to Christ, and initially I was not exposed at all to the Bible, so I knew nothing. Well, then here I am with literally hundreds of junior high kids as a youth director, and I noticed the loners. If I had time, I would tell you, but I don't. This moment, I don't have time. But I kept thinking, what can I do? What can I do? And I would reach out to those in particular.
I see.
Because I knew what it was like to hurt, and I couldn't talk. I didn't want to burden mother, because I knew she was hurting, and I just felt I can't say anything. Plus,
right.
I don't even know I could get it out. Sometimes we just don't have words, but you
understand.
Oh, that what a gift you can be to those. It can be adults. It doesn't have to be. Yes, you're in a school setting, but I would love for you to just say, okay, God, I'm willing to be used. Open my understanding to help me see how I can look beyond the fault, see the need, and how might you use me? And because the Bible says, bear one another's burdens, and in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. That's what you can do.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. And we will be sending the 31-day devotional called Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE. That's anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They're available, and our materials and past programs are available as well at hopefortheheart.org. You can go there or to check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart. That's a free download wherever you find your apps. And until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.